Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gambit. Today is Monday, January 16, 2017.
Close.
Yep, but I totally pulled it out and saved it. That's okay. Anyhow, yeah, it's 2017. I was just testing everyone to see if anyhow, Brian Chaffin, how are you?
Wait a minute, hold on. You're gonna have John over there like cackling like a madman in the background. You're gonna start with me? I'm still sick. Screw you.
So anyhow, that's the ever peppy and happy and lovable Brian Chaffin. And in the other corner we have Mr. Energy today, John Martellaro.
Good morning, Brian.
Yeah.
Careful, you're probably going to get some germs because Brian is still sick. Hey, we have sponsors today. Blue Apron, the company that sends you the awesome food so that you look like you're an amazing chef. And then we also have GoDaddy, the internet service company. We'll talk about those in just a bit. But before we do, John, we have to go back to last week. And that's why I needed you on the show today. And then I wanted Brian so we'd have a different perspective. And the reason I wanted you guys on the show was because the listener comments that we're going to be looking at are about Consumer Reports. So what I did at the end of the week was tasked you, dear listeners, with letting me know how you feel about Consumer Reports, and specifically about how they handled Apple's Touch Bar MacBook Pro and the rating that they flip-flopped on. But to be fair, they retested the MacBook Pro with different parameters before they changed their rating on the computer. And my takeaway was, why should I trust Consumer Reports? Because I just don't see that they're actually offering some sort of compelling reason to believe that they actually know what they're doing with computers for the rating systems. And John, you were far more charitable, and you took the approach that this was actually a good thing because it helped uncover a bug in Apple software, and that bug has been addressed, and so we ended up with...
Yeah, let me set the record straight here. Just because Consumer Reports didn't discover this very deep bug in Safari doesn't mean that they're technically incompetent. And moreover, I did express the view that I was occasionally annoyed by Consumer Reports' lack of technical excellence when it came to understanding Apple products. But I also mentioned that there was this pleasant, did I use the word Catholic with a small c?
Yes, you did.
There was this pleasant, sort of non-biased, non-rah-rah fanboy approach to sitting down and treating equipment on a common ground from a consumer perspective. And that occasionally is glorious.
All right. And my take was they didn't treat this from a consumer perspective at all. And so to that end, listeners chimed in. And guess what? Listeners have very strong opinions about this. So the first comment that I want to take a look at comes from Stan BH. And Stan says, skepticism about Consumer Reports' ability to test computers brings up a mix of reactions for me. First, one has to realize or understand that Consumer Reports is writing for a very pedestrian audience. They think, right or wrong, that their consumers are run-of-the-mill people who are generally ignorant of any nuances of any product. So when you computer geeks see what Consumer Reports does, you become skeptical. And now he goes on to say that he's really into photography and that he is as skeptical of Consumer Reports' take on cameras as I am about their take on computers. And then he says that he has friends that are car buffs that are and he uses the term, equally dismayed by Consumer Reports car ratings. And so anyhow, the general take is that that overall he's not really pleased with Consumer Reports for their more technical product ratings. So so Brian, you haven't had a chance to weigh in on any of this yet, and I'd love to hear what you think.
I think that Apple fans are knee-jerk, knee-jerk critics of Consumer Reports when Consumer Reports is critical of Apple. And I don't personally like that sort of thing. I don't like being... I think that Consumer Reports has been properly critical of Apple on a couple of issues. In this particular case, it is weird that Consumer Reports is testing batteries in a way that does not reflect real world use. That's a mistake, and I hope it's a mistake that ends up being corrected by this exact same controversy. This controversy that did help Apple find a problem, right? I hope that the resulting controversy actually helps Consumer Reports change the way they're testing these batteries, because these rules, the thing that they were doing, are not just how they test Apple's batteries.
It's how they test all
laptop batteries, right? Yeah. So it's not like Apple is being held to a standard that no one else is being held to.
Yeah, they're being held to a standard that I see as unreasonable from the perspective of testing, because this is not how consumers actually use the product.
Yeah, but to me that's weird more than it is like some sort of significant problem, because guess what? Consumer Reports readers aren't us.
Right, but they're also not people that are going to go and shut off their browser cache.
Correct. They're not, and that makes what they're doing weird, but I don't really see it as a big, huge problem. It's something I want them to change, but I don't think it makes them evil. And more importantly, I really don't even think it matters.
Yeah, well, okay. So the fact that they were testing all laptops consistently, that's a good thing. And finding a bug that needed to be fixed, if for no other reason than so that developers, when they're testing their websites and other code, don't run into this problem, that's great. The real problem I have is that the test results that they came up with, because they were doing some weird thing, in this case, shutting off the browser cache completely, they got these really weird results. I mean, wild fluctuations in battery life. Okay, that's how they found the bug. Now, when they redid the tests with everything corrected and using the computer more like normal people would, they still got these wild results that are completely unrealistic. You are not going to get 18 and a half hours battery life off of a Touch Bar MacBook Pro. And I say that as someone that at CES went 2 days without charging my MacBook Pro before I realized I should probably plug this in at some point. That, I mean, that's how good my battery life is, but it's certainly no 18 hours.
Can I chime in here a second?
Sure.
I think what's happening is that given a battery, and batteries are very similar, Apple's value added is that they use software to extract optimum performance from a given battery. And when you do that, your technique becomes opaque, and it's hard to assess on common ground whether this guy's software is being more optimized, or whether there's some problem with the battery. So to isolate the variables, Consumer Reports took that factor out of the equation and tried to focus on the battery itself, which omits consideration of what Apple tries to do with its software, which is why people are annoyed. So there's a sort of a dilemma here about isolating variables and testing batteries and testing a system as a whole in terms of its total performance, software and hardware. And that's hard to resolve.
I agree.
They did the best they could. Yeah.
Okay, hold on to that thought, because we're going to come back to that in just a second. But before we do that, I want to talk about Blue Apron real quick. And Blue Apron is the company that makes these really great, I hate to use the term prepackaged meals, because there's so much better than that. It's not like you get something that you throw in a microwave in the mail and you heat it up.
It's more like a mail kit.
It's a mail order kit.
A meal kit.
I like that. And so the food they send you to make, it's like really, really fresh and good quality. And so here's what I did. Over the weekend, I took a kit of three dinners for two people over to friends, and did this whole thing where it became this multi-day event of making meals and testing food and getting opinions of people that are outside my head, which I think is important. And here was the consensus: this is cool. It was a wonderful community sharing experience, and everyone loved working with the ingredients and going through the recipes together, which are easy to follow. And then at the end, here's all this food that tasted really good, and everyone was happy, and it was just like a weekend party of food. And even the cats got in on it and were really excited to get like little leftover scraps. And anyhow, it was really awesome. It was just a really fun thing to do with my friends. And it turns out that all the food, everyone just loved it. It was just great all the way around. So what I want you guys to do is get to experience the fun that I had over the weekend with all of my friends. And I want you to be able to pick up a pack of three dinners just like I got. So you get all of these fresh ingredients, you get the instructions on how to put it all together, and you have recipe cards that you can keep. So if you want to go make the stuff again, you can. So here's what you need to do. Go to blueapron.com/TDO and sign up for a three-meal pack. You're going to get the three meals for two for free. And it's going to get delivered to you for free. Everything shows up fresh in this box. You're going to pick up the box. You're going to be like, holy crap, this feels heavy. And it does feel heavy because it's all fresh ingredients that are just sitting in there ready to go. And it's just wonderful. So go check it out and just have an awesome time with whoever you want. It could be that someone special in your life. It could be a bunch of friends. Come over and have a cooking party, a Blue Apron party. Just do it. It is so much fun. And the food tastes great. BlueApron.com/TDO. Get three free meals for two people for free delivered right to your door. And thank you, Blue Apron, for being our sponsor. All right.
I got to tell you, man, I made the potato and artichoke quiche last night.
Yes.
It's one of the three meals that I got from Blue Apron. Tasty. I never made a quiche in my life. Tasty stuff.
Sent me a photo of it, and it looked great.
Yeah, I did good, didn't I?
You did really well. Yeah. And for me to say that looked really good is saying something, because I have a dairy allergy, so I actually can't eat quiche, at least not that quiche. And it looked great. Yeah. So, blueapron.com/TDO. Totally, totally. Go get yourself some awesome food. Okay. So, John, I told you to hold your thought. And you were talking about the balance that's hard to strike between rating products, testing products, and being realistic for consumer needs. And that kind of plays in with a sentiment that I was seeing in comments that we were getting to last week's show. And so Remea says, I stopped using Consumer Reports evaluations a long time ago, as they don't seem to have people qualified enough to evaluate high-end products, and talks about computers and cars specifically. And then Craig B. says that we're giving Consumer Reports too much slack. If they market themselves as providing meaningful product reviews, they need to do so. And to me, those are perfect examples of how that balance is really hard to find. And in some cases, it doesn't seem like Consumer Reports is doing it in a way that's instilling faith in potential subscribers to their service.
You know, man, the Consumer Reports, the job that they do in general is incredibly valuable for a lot of people. Yes. And in particular, the fact that they're doing these reviews and this testing, and that they're doing so without taking money from the very same people that they're testing, allowing them to theoretically be unbiased. It's terrific. And it's very, very valuable to a lot of people. In this particular case, they helped Apple find a bug. This is such a good thing. I'm like so in John's camp with this. And I think that I think the people are just being unduly critical. That's what I think.
It's, you know, I'm kind of torn because for some products that Consumer Reports reviews, they're my go-to place. Like if I want to know what appliances I need to buy, I want to know what Consumer Reports has to say. But when it comes to other technology devices, like a computer or a smartphone, then I'm less inclined to go with a Consumer Reports rating. And
yeah, but we're all going to have aspects of product aspects that we don't turn to a source like Consumer Reports for, because we happen to be the experts in them. I think a lot That's of our listeners and a lot of our readers at TMO are experts in computers. And right, yeah, they don't need the Consumer Reports review. There are people who do.
That's true. All right. Now, that said, Consumer Reports tests the MacBook Pro and they get bad battery life. And that's what the media covers. Consumer Reports redoes the tests and decides, actually, the battery life on this thing is great. We recommend this. No media coverage. So now all these people that are relying on Consumer Reports to tell them whether or not to go buy the MacBook Pro, in many cases, are not going to go buy it, even though they would have otherwise.
You know who pays attention to the media reports about Consumer Reports complaining about the MacBook Pro? The echo chamber. Same echo chamber that didn't need Consumer Reports opinion in the first place.
I disagree. And
because the people that are actually looking to Consumer Reports for their opinions are going to Consumer Reports for those opinions. They go to Consumer Reports. What's that opinion? The opinion is, get this thing, it's great. So okay, what's the problem? There was a brief period of time where Consumer Reports was bagging on this thing, and it's not now.
Okay. So now here's what happened. Here's the problem. I know several graphic designers who have been impatiently waiting for the new MacBook Pro to come out, and when it came out, they asked me what I thought, and I said, hey, I like mine. I feel comfortable telling you to buy one. And then they held off. Consumer Reports comes out with their initial report. They see it in the media, and they're done. They're not buying a MacBook Pro. And I've gone and told them all, look, they changed the rating. They never saw it. They didn't care. The initial rating came out. They were done.
That's just not doing due diligence. When Consumer Reports says they can't recommend a MacBook Pro, that's news. When they turn around and say, whoops, we can, that's not news. That's just something we knew all along.
Right. And so the average consumer doesn't hear the second half of the report. And so they're done.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if you're astute enough to be reading the news and find out about this report. You're astute enough to read about all the fuss and the aftermath and the bug fix.
And yet most consumers won't. They'll just see the initial report on whatever TV nightly news they watch. And they're done.
They even see it.
It's,
yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Boo-hoo.
So anyhow, my point is that
it just goes to show you only get one chance to get it right. Apple. That's the other way to look at it.
Or Consumer Reports.
Well, they didn't do anything wrong. They didn't create the bug.
they did do a weird testing system that doesn't fit with the average consumer.
But it may have been weird, but it was consistent across all platforms. Remember that.
All right. Well, then why don't they do a car test where they drop cars off the top of a building to see how the airbags respond? It's not realistic. It's not how consumers use their cars. So there. All right. Hey, we have another sponsor. And so I'm going to talk about them now. And our other sponsor is GoDaddy, which is the largest domain registrar there is. And they are on the hunt. They are on the hunt for new subscribers to their services. And what they're trying to do is find ways to help you build up your online business. And they've really been beefing up their services to make sure that they can do that. And they have a 24/7 support for your website needs. They have a big savings that they've been rolling out so that they're less expensive than other registrars. And they'd love for you to give them a chance and see what you think. So if you are on the hunt for a new domain, then you can check out and see what sort of deals they can give you, and we'll make the deal a little better for you. Hold on. So go to GoDaddy.com and then pick out your domain. When you're ready to check out, you need to use the coupon code TDO30. So that's TDO30. And that's going to get you 30% off all the new products that that you order from them. So TDO30, 30% off. And the way they describe it is they say they're helping their customers kick ass by giving them the tools and insights that they need so that they can make their businesses successful. So check them out, GoDaddy.com, and use that discount code TDO30 for 30% off. And thanks, GoDaddy, for being a sponsor. All right. So the one thing that I wanted to hit, we're kind of out of time, but one last thing that I wanted to talk about real quick, just so I could get you guys' opinions, because even when you disagree with me and I know you're wrong, I still value your opinions. And this is the whole thing with Apple Music, and Apple is out hunting for TV shows, and and not just like any TV show, but they're looking for the caliber of stuff that we're seeing as the original content that you can get from Netflix and Amazon Prime, and they want that for Apple Music. And Jimmy Iovine just has come out and said, yeah, we'll look at anything because we want to make Apple Music as good as it can possibly be for everyone. My take on this is that what Apple wants to be is they want Apple Music to be like MTV was in the 1980s, to be the pop culture nexus. And Jimmy Iovine says that they want Apple Music to hit pop culture on the nose all the time. And so what do you think? Am I going down the right path with equating where Apple wants Apple Music to be with MTV from the 1980s?
No, it's probably pretty darn close, really.
Great. We agree on something today. John, I know you were so into MTV in the 80s. What do you think? And I know you were so big on old pop culture like that.
Well, my quick take on it is that it's one thing to create tools and products that and enable people to do cool things. It's another thing to become so involved in it yourself that you get a little bit envious and you want to be more involved in it from a cultural standpoint. And it's Jimmy Iovine's job to do this. Mm-hmm. It's just that I kind of feel like Apple's forcing the issue a little bit. It doesn't feel natural into the first order. I mean, I could be wrong. I probably am. But to first order, it kind of just annoys me a little bit that Apple is trying to force its way into something.
We were in solidarity, brother. We were simpatico about the Consumer Reports business.
On my side. Yes,
we were brothers in arms, and now you're just wrong.
It's just my first take on it, that it seems to be kind of a force case, like, oh, we want this, we're going to buy our way into this.
That's what you do in this particular industry. Yeah,
you buy
content from other people. It's not like Netflix was.
You can buy content, but you can't buy admiration, love, and success.
No, but if you come up with really great shows.
How did Amazon do it? Netflix and Amazon did.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard. Because Apple's going to be judged by the content in a way that Netflix isn't. Netflix has a lot of content, and they get licenses for everything. And so we don't judge Netflix by the content. We judge them by their
execution. Yeah, we do.
We totally judge them by their content.
Like,
well, they have so much
credit because their content is fantastic.
Yeah, if Hulu offered better content, we would be singing Hulu's praises.
Yeah, we'd be talking about that right now.
Yeah,
like, my God, have you seen that new Hulu show?
Yeah, but we rave about shows like Stranger Things and Sense8 and Man in the High Castle.
Some people rave about some things, and some people don't necessarily rave about everything. And it's sort of like some people like some things, and some people don't like some things. And I agree that the indie creative content on Netflix is above average. It's much better than network, enormously better than network. It's very good, but they're doing so much of it that it's hard to say Netflix as a whole is to be judged by the how much and how good the content is.
That's exactly
what we do.
That's what's happening. Yeah. They're seeing great success with it. If Apple puts out content that's not great, they will be judged accordingly. And if they put out content that is great, they will become the same kind of must-have service that Netflix is for streaming video.
Yeah. All right. So we're out of time. And
sorry to disagree, Brian.
That's okay.
I'm just disappointed you.
Brother, we were so close. Like Consumer Reports.
But Brian, it worked out in the end because we ended up bonding over TV shows. So there's that. And you know, and honestly, when I dropped my question at you guys, I thought it was like 2 minutes of talk and we were done. And then John came out of left field and we ended up running late because of it. So it's all your fault, John. And
okay.
Yeah. Anyhow, I love you guys. I love both of you. Even when we disagree about stuff, but
can I say one more thing, please?
Yes. Okay. Go ahead.
This common crowd is much too loud. I just want to, because I'm not going to be, once my voice is better, I'm just not going to be able to do that, so.
No, you won't. Now we have that recorded, so maybe I'll have to cut that out and turn it into a ringtone. Just saying. Hey, we really are way out of time. So, Brian, thank you for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
And John, thank you for being here, too.
Mea culpa.
No, it's all good because we're all friends here.
Love you, brother.
Yeah, I love both you guys.
Me too.
Blue Apron, thank you for being our sponsor today. BlueApron.com/TDO. Also, GoDaddy, thank you for being our sponsor today. GoDaddy.com and use the discount code TDO30 for 30% off all your products. And listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.
Love you, Brian.